Good morning. Well, we finally come to the end of the letter to the Ephesians. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, all the way through to the end of the chapter, we have Paul putting the final touches to this masterful presentation of what the church should be like. The church should be functioning like the body of Christ, where every part of the body is seeking the benefit of all of the other parts. It should be walking in a particular way. It should be sitting in a particular way. And now we find that the body of Christ should be standing in a particular way. Let's read these words together and then get into the text of Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 24. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. So it's quite obvious that this is the ending of the epistle, because Paul begins by saying, finally. And his final word, his last exhortation, his closing encouragement is to be strong. It sounds somewhat difficult to be strong. You either are strong or you're not strong. You either have strength in your limbs, strength in your character, or you don't have it. So what is Paul indicating? Well, he's indicating that strength is not something that you either have or haven't got. Strength is something that you can acquire. And the way that we acquire this strength and acquire strength in his mighty power is to put on the full armor of God. It is armor that God himself wears. Each of these pieces of equipment, there are seven in all, each of these pieces of equipment can be related to different portions of the Old Testament that speak of God, our warrior king, wearing the armor that is appropriate to the warrior for truth and for righteousness. And so God, as it were, takes his armor and places it on us. And unlike Saul's armor, when he attempted to offer it to David. The Lord's armour fits us perfectly and completely. Now, I think that Paul, of course, did not have such a radical view of individualism that most of us do. That's something that's emerged in the last few hundred years. But clearly he has two things in mind at the same time. He's thinking of individual Christians who together make up the body of Christ, and he's also thinking about the body of Christ as a single entity, a single unit, wearing these singular pieces of armour as a whole. We could look at it from both angles, of course. Generally, because of the way that we're shaped and moulded by our society, we tend to focus more especially on the individual application. I'll try not to stray too much into that today. Paul uses words that would be familiar to anyone in a military world, and of course, Paul has been very closely associated with a soldier to whom he has been chained during all of his period of incarceration from Jerusalem through to Caesarea and then on the ship and now in Rome. He's an ambassador in chains. It's a light chain. It's not a chain that's heavy or irksome, but is almost a kind of token of the fact that he is a prisoner. And the chain is usually attached to a Roman soldier. And so even as he's spoken to this Roman soldier and no doubt led him to Christ, as seems to be indicated in other parts of the New Testament, he is conscious of what it is that this soldier has done, how it is that this soldier has lived, and the stories that still resonate in his heart of battles won and lost in the past. When Paul reflects on those things, he realizes that the great strength of the Roman military machine is not in sweeping tactical moves, but in the fact that as those squares of legions step out onto the battlefield, their principal task and their greatest strength is that they are immovable. Those squares of legions standing on the battlefield were such a challenge to the other armies that they met, and the challenge was created by the fact that they planted themselves on the battlefield and then basically invited the other army to come and try and move them. And so their tactics of locking shields and having successive lines of legions, legionaries standing in line behind one another, pushing on the line in front of them, was a tactic that was not only helpful but incredibly successful. As the legionaries used their spears both to throw at the opposition and to spear the opposition, as they used their gladius, the famous sword of the Roman legions, they would butcher the soldiers that came against them, whilst at the same time proving an immovable object in the battlefield. It was the immovability of the Roman legions that meant that this was now the most successful, the most powerful, and the most wide-ranging empire the world had ever seen. And so Paul makes real use of this word stand. He wants us to take our stand against the devil's scheme. And he wants us to take on the full armour of God so that when the evil day comes, we're able to stand our ground. And after having done everything, to stand. And then to stand firm then with the particular elements of the armour. We're standing against the devil's schemes. We're not fighting human beings. That's what the Roman legions did. But you and I, we're standing against the spiritual forces of darkness, and we take up our position and we choose not to move. We choose resistance. We choose a dogged determination. You see, this is how the church finally changed the culture of Rome. This is how slavery was removed. This is how people who were subjugated were lifted up. This is how the church has been most successful down through the ages. It takes its stand and it chooses not to move. Yes, you can take the lives of individuals, but you cannot move the church of Jesus Christ. And so we take on the various elements. We wear the belt, like a weightlifter's belt. Yes, the various different kinds of equipment that a Roman soldier would carry would be often attached to the belt. But this was a very thick belt, a belt that that straddled the lumbar regions of the back. Because, of course, this kind of push and tug of war that was going on in the battlefield would often affect the lower back in the most pronounced way. And so this weightlifter's belt was placed around each of the soldiers, and they were able to stand more effectively. That's what truth does. The truth that is in Jesus, the reality that is in Jesus, holds our weakest parts together and causes us to be able to stand. We wear a breastplate, collectively and individually, of right relationship. That breastplate of right relationship will cover our most precious parts. It will cover our heart. It will cover our, as it were, most vulnerable organs of life. Right relationship maintained and sought is of enormous importance for us as individuals and us as a church. Having feet that are not likely to slip, the boot of the Roman soldier was legendary in the warmer climates. It was an open lattice of leather and lace with large hobnails on the bottom so that the soldiers could grip the ground. In winter, those open-toed boots would be filled in with sheepskin, so that the feet could stay warm. And so these boots were the boots that were incredibly flexible, incredibly useful, incredibly adaptable, and would enable the soldier to stand their ground. With all of these things, Paul says, you will find that in standing, the best place to stand is to stand in peace. To stand in the peace that comes from the good news of Jesus. Peace with him, peace with one another. And such a peace causes us to be able to be ready to respond. Above all of that, of course, we have the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing the word, and so shield and sword are closely connected. But the shield of faith is the thing that will extinguish the flaming darts of the enemy. Those flaming darts would be fired at the Roman shield wall. And because of the way that the shields were constructed and often dipped in water, often doused in water, the shield would not only protect the soldier, but would extinguish the arrow. The helmet, of course, is the helmet that covers the head, that covers the most important, the most vulnerable, the most significant part of the body. Our capacity to be able to see correctly, our capacity to be able to hear correctly, our capacity to be able to, as it were, sense the working presence and movement of the Lord is dependent, first of all, on us being saved, and then second of all, in allowing the process of salvation to continue. And so our ears will be more open, our eyes will be brighter and clearer, and we'll be able to see and hear more effectively because we allow the work of the gospel to continue in our lives. And then the one offensive piece of equipment, the piece of equipment known as the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The Word of God, as we hold it and nurture it in our hearts, becomes the weapon of victory in our hands. And then finally, because Paul, of course, lived in a time when telecommunication was not yet invented, obviously, for many, many hundreds of years, he is not able to describe the seventh piece of equipment in the metaphors that he's been able to use up until now. But there is a seventh piece of equipment, and that is direct communication with our high command. Direct communication with our commander in the field. Direct communication with the Lord himself. Prayers of all kinds and every request. And as Paul details and articulates each of these pieces of equipment and encourages us to embrace each one of them, he then prays that he too would be one equally equipped, and then reveals what it is that he wants that equipping to produce: a fearlessness. A fearlessness in making known the mystery of the gospel. What a way to end this marvelous epistle. Lord, make us fearless. May we wear the entire armor from head to toe. And Lord, may we be fearless in sharing the gospel. Amen.